This is Radio Doomsday Live. I'm your host, Mike Luckman. Tonight and every Thursday night, we're going to be talking about the state of the Earth and the Mayan calendar and other issues concerning the survival of the human race. I invite your telephone calls, incidentally. You can reach me at BBS. We're on station number 2, and it's 888-429-5471. I'll repeat that, 888-429-5471 for your call-ins. I will take anyone on any of the issues involved with Planet X, the pole shift, the solar superstorms, the economy, Fukushima nuclear disaster, and other issues impinging on very likely the survival of the human race. And but please call in. I'd like to inaugurate the show with any calls possible. I want to get started by getting a little bit of background on myself and these issues that are very serious and very immediate. Let me say at the outset, I do not believe that December 21st, 2012, the last date of the Mayan calendar, means doomsday. I do not believe that anything of a physical nature particularly is going to happen on that date. 10% of the population, incidentally, do believe that there will be a disaster, a catastrophe, something really bad that's going to happen on that date, and that, in fact, it'll spell the end of the world. This is a worldwide poll that was conducted by the Reuters News Agency. I don't feel that way at all. In fact, what I want people to do is to start to get ready right now before December 21st, 2012, and to be ready to go past December 21st, 2012. There may be something, and I'm sure there will be, of a very deep, perhaps spiritual nature that will transpire on that date. That's the date where the galactic alignment, where Earth definitely comes in direct alignment with the center of the Milky Way, where, incidentally, scientists estimate that as many as 30 billion stars may be able to support life. And there is a signal that was detected this last year from the dead center of the Milky Way galaxy that could potentially be an alien signal aimed at the people of Earth. I want to go back to the time when I met the Mayan elders, which was my introduction to some of these issues. I met the Mayan elders at an event called The Legend of the 13 Crystal Skulls, and they actually had 13 ancient crystal skulls gathered from all over the world. The Mayan elders believe that at a date where humanity stood at the crossroads, that these skulls were mandated to come together and that something would happen. They didn't know just what would happen, but that something would happen. Well, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that something incredible did happen. Not only could you feel the vibes in the auditorium at FIT auditorium here in New York City when that happened about a year ago, and not only were UFOs sighted, and the Mayans deeply believe in extraterrestrial visitation at this general time in our history, but the skulls themselves changed. There were physical changes that took place since the event happened in the weeks following this Legend of the 13 Crystal Skulls event. The coloration went from a cloudy color on the left side and on the left side only to a clear color. Nobody knows what that means or how that happened, but it did happen. In any event, that was my introduction to the Mayan elders. And we held a news conference, and the idea behind that was to assure people that the Mayan calendar end date, December 21st, 2012, is not the end of the world. However, I have to tell you that I have since found something else out. December 21st, 2012 is not going to be the end of the world. However, this general time period could mark the end for a lot of people, a very large percentage of the population. And the reason for that is that they believe in problems caused by the sun, which NASA scientists confirm right now. There's been extraordinary activity on the sun. Solar flares, and usually the solar flares go the other way, away from the Earth. But in this case, they're coming right toward us. And some of these flares, by the way, some of the sunspots associated with the flares are as large as the planet Jupiter, which dwarfs the Earth immensely. So the Nayans were concerned about that, but I've also since found out something. They've broken their silence to me, and I've since found out that the Mayans believe in Planet X. I'm going to go into Planet X in one moment, which is very important. And also they believe that every 26,000 years or so, that there's a pole shift, which is the worst-case scenario for what could happen, because the outer skin of the Earth flips around. And as a result of that, it's just a total calamity. I mean, billions of people would lose their lives in that, in the worst-case scenario. I'm not saying that that is likely to happen to us in our lifetime, because that 26,000 years is a very big window. However, Planet X may be, in fact, approaching us. I'm sure it is. How far away it is, it's a matter of some debate and some controversy. I was a friend of Zechariah Sitchin, the late author, Sumerian scholar, and author about the books on Planet X. He wrote about 12 different books, published all over the world, had a huge following. There are presently, according to space.com, more than 2 million websites devoted in one way or another to Planet X. Planet X was a planet that was known as Nibiru. And if you read Sitchin's writings, you'll see that, and this is, by the way, supported by, Sumerian tablets. This isn't something that Sitchin came up with on his own. This is something that is supported by physical evidence. Anyway, that the planet comes around every 3,600 years. Again, that's a very big window. Sitchin himself didn't think it was probably going to come around for another perhaps 40 or 50 years. However, Planet X moves counterclockwise, where all the other planets move clockwise. And Planet X, the ancient Sumerians knew not only the existence of a 12th planet, but they knew of each and every planet in our solar system, how they move, their relative size and shape and coloration to one another. And this is just absolutely extraordinary. The Sumerians came down here, and it's my belief, as was Sitchin's, that they jump-started the human race, thereby explaining the missing link. They combined their DNA with human DNA, or pre-human DNA, more accurately. And the purpose behind that was to create, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but a slave race at that time. And that slave race was responsible for gathering gold, mostly in Africa, that would be used by the Anunnaki, the beings who live on Planet X, for the purpose of lining their planet with gold, because each one of the planets are totally different from one another. And in the case of Planet X, they have apparently an internal sun. And so they need to keep the warmth in, and they needed these particles of gold to coat their atmosphere to keep the warmth in, because Planet X is in a wide-swinging orbit, which often is in the farthest reaches of our solar system in the Oort belt, where there's a lot of asteroids and comets and other potential planets. So NASA's denied the existence of Planet X. Vehemently, in fact, too vehemently. They have gone out of their way to say that the whole 2012 concern is one giant hoax. Well, I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that NASA has been covering up UFOs. The most extraordinary, the most important issue that confronts the human race besides survival itself, and they may very well be able to help us survive. They've been covering this up for a very long time, and there are 400, I have copies of 400 videotaped depositions that clearly show, these are from former military people, a lot of people worked in the Pentagon in the 1960s and 70s, and what this shows is that there's a giant UFO cover-up, a worldwide UFO cover-up, that the Roswell crash in 1947 in New Mexico is absolutely took place, and that it involved aliens who were recovered. I think I have a caller. Yes, sir. Sherwin's on the line from New York. Yes, Sherwin.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty concerned about one thing, is that California, which supposedly is on the edge of the San Andreas Fault and on a shelf that supposedly is overdue with the big one, the big earthquake that's supposed to tear California off the coast of the continental shelf.
That's right.
And I think that that's coincidental with the 2012 supposed end of the world. So that could be the start of it, and I think that's way overdue. And you know, scientists have predicted this.
There is the Andreas Fault in California. There is every indication that that may be a huge problem, and that might be fairly imminent. There's been an extraordinary amount of earthquake activity that's taken place along the California coast. And what's also concerning to me in regard to California is that the flotsam and jetsam from the tsunami from Japan, from Fukushima, Japan, some of which is most likely radioactive, enough to occupy on the water a mass as large as the state of California, is now moving toward the United States, has presently reached Alaska, and is on its way toward in the general direction of California and the entire West Coast, and we don't know what that's going to mean. It certainly isn't going to help in terms of pollution, but there's a concern about radioactive,
There will definitely be a heck of a lot of pollution on the coast of California going by the way the jet stream travels through the water, because I was on the coast of Africa about 10 years ago, and the coast of Africa is very synonymous with the California coast because it's on the west side of the African continent, and there's tons and tons of plastic debris and all kinds of debris that has been thrown off of ships. I mean, I saw syringes, all kinds of plastic crap.
I got to tell you that the Newsweek magazine has a cover story in the current issue pertaining to the oceans, and that in 40 years from now, and Newsweek's pretty conservative, right? In 40 years from now, they're saying that the oceans won't have any more life in them because of overfishing and because of pollution. So along the lines of what you were just talking about.
Well, look at it this way. This woman a few days ago that she did some kind of sports stunt with a, what do they call it, a rip, what do you call those things, a zip ropes or something? Slide down a thing, she got cut by it and fell into some river that was polluted. Well, quite a few years ago, my wife and I were commissioned to do a photo shoot down in New Bern, I think it was New Bern, North Carolina.
Right.
And the river there was totally polluted from pig farm runoff.
You know, wherever you look, you see that things are out of whack. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to see just what shape things are in. You have birds falling out of the sky by the hundreds of thousands. You want to say that it's business as usual? It's not business as usual. You have fish by the hundreds of thousands, maybe more, washing up on our shores. You have poor dolphins washing up. You have the BP oil spill. Of course, that was man-made. But we're in a bad position because we're in a pre-ice age or interglacial period. In addition to that, however, that's been accelerated by man's own greed, and the greenhouse effect has speeded up that process, which has put us, you know, in the worst possible position imaginable. Now, I say, you know, forget about the Mayans, forget about the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Sumerians, the Hopi Indians, forget about all of that. All you have to do is to read the paper, watch television, or get outside, and you see that something is terribly wrong. I mean, if you look up in the sky, if you know what to look for, and it's not very hard to spot, you'll see the sky sometimes marked up with what looks almost like chalk marks. And this is from the wholesale spraying of our upper atmosphere by these white, unmarked planes. This is a worldwide program, particularly strong in the United States, and obviously is meant to shield us in some way for the sun. So it might, you know, it might be in the long run beneficial for us, or even in the short run beneficial for us. But the fact of the matter is that these chemtrails, as they're known, are being put up there for a reason. I mean, it's costing billions of dollars for this secret program to go on. We're in really bad shape. I understand that some of the military satellites just this last week or so were knocked out temporarily, and they had to be rebooted because of the sun flares. The solar flares have that effect. I understand that at least one or more communication satellites were knocked out, and NASA itself, even though they try to play down the so-called 2012 what they claim is a hoax, but in the next breath they're talking about the condition of the sun and what they tell us. And as I say, you can throw away all of those other things. I don't know why you'd want to throw away what the Mayans have been able to come up with, and all these ancient cultures have been able to come up with. But the sun is in terrible, 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 it's a solar maximum that peaks in 2013. We're only in 2012. And those solar flares could be absolutely devastating to us. And NASA says plain out, and many people may not take the time to pay attention to this, but they say flat out that the power grid may go down. The power grid is what keeps us alive. We're literally plunged back into the dark ages as that power grid goes. And there's every possibility that may happen. It means that when we go to the supermarket, there won't be any food, there won't be any water, because everything works on electricity, even the delivery of water to our homes. And we're really going to be in bad shape, and it's going to happen immediately. It could mean it could be out for weeks or months, and the effect would last for years. And frankly, I don't think a lot of people are going to make it if the power goes. It means no communication, no medication, no transportation. We're really going to have problems.
Well, you know, we are, like I say, even these water companies now control every valve in your home. The delivery of water can be shut off in an instant by the water company.
Right.
And if there's a solar flare and there's some kind of magnetic activity, all that stuff can just go basically haywire. Then all of a sudden you're not going to have water, you know?
You know, I know. You know, there are two schools of thought. There are people who don't want to know.
Siding with the computer control of all of our delivery of essential utilities, you know?
Right, right. Sherwin, thanks very much for calling Radio Doomsday Live. I hope you'll be a regular caller. The number
welcome.
For people who want to call in is 888-429-5471. We're back with Radio Doomsday Live. Again, that phone number for call-ins is 888-429-5471. I want to talk a little bit about survival shelters. I was in touch with a man by the name of Joe Campo, who runs a company called Campo Construction. They're located in Colorado. And Campo, what's notable about Campo is that originally back in the 1950s and 1960s, Campo Construction built almost all of the McDonald's restaurants, something like 1,500 McDonald's restaurants, mostly the ones along the east, in the east, in the eastern sector of the United States. And now, guess what they're doing? They're building survival shelters. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They're building survival shelters. And what's unique about these, and very important about these survival shelters, and they're not inexpensive, but they do work to this degree. If you if you're underground in a survival shelter, and there are people who are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and more, even a lot more even, for somewhat cushy survival shelters. But if there's a tsunami, the survival shelter ain't going to do you any good. So therefore, you need to have a survival shelter that can float. And Joe Campbell came up with just that thing. He has a floating, it's called the C-70 model, it's a floating survival shelter. So it'll cost you about $70,000, and it does take some time to build. I don't think we have to worry once again about that December 21st, 2012 date as any kind of a deadline, but we're in the soup right now, and it doesn't take much to realize that, so we need to start to concentrate on the real issues. And I understand that. Okay, Joe Campo from Campo Construction is on line 3 from Atlanta. Joe, how are you doing?
Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, Joe. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is, first I want to congratulate you on your show. I know you have a fantastic opportunity, Mike, to do nothing more than, hopefully if you make a few people totally aware of what's going on, it's all well worth the effort. And,
well, thanks very much, Joe. It's really an important undertaking, I think the most important undertaking, so that's why I decided to do it.
No, it really is. One thing I wanted to discuss, Mike, I was thinking about this earlier this evening, and that is, the acceptance or the rejection of the idea of, dealing with times that we can't possibly imagine. And, as Americans, we're so darn complacent. When something happens, it's big news for 2 or 3 days. We get emotionally involved in it, and then something else happens, and we forget about that, and we go on.
Yeah.
Well, we're living in a world here. Let's talk about what I believe is totally black and white and real. And
Joe, can you put the volume up a little bit on your phone? I'm not quite getting it.
Okay, well, maybe I'm not.
That's much better, yeah.
No, but, the reality, we are living in a world, where we're very, very close to a global economic collapse. And it's amazing, that it has lasted as long as it has. So, I thoroughly believe that is something that, anyone that has a family or, children should, take a very serious look at, being able to be prepared for worst-case scenario. Let's say that you can't buy anything with your dollar anymore. You have to figure out another way to go by. And a lot of this has to do with just basic survival. So, to me, that is reality. Another thing that I think has really been swept under the rug is what has happened or is happening in Japan at Fukushima. There's radiation levels in our country now that are 1,000 times more than, the acceptable level, and yet they're not reported by the EPA. And so there's things there that are real things that, I think we all have a habit of wanting, the ostrich in the sand syndrome of, if I don't think about it, it's not going to happen. But those are real things. And then beyond that, as your first guest mentioned, there are things, throughout our planet that are just not quite right. And the thing, we get caught up in the chaos of so many things happening at one time.
Yeah, the thing that you mentioned about the financial collapse, I think that's definitely something that we have to be concerned about. A financial collapse, I think, is almost almost guaranteed to happen. I mean, people unfortunately have lost confidence in the banks, and for good reason, and in the, certainly the stock market has reflected the uncertainty. And of course, as I said earlier in the show, everything that you look at, no matter where you look, the news isn't particularly good. I myself would advise people to consider anyway, buying some gold. Of course, gold isn't going to get you anything at the supermarket, or it may, but if there's no food at the supermarket, it's not going to matter. I was curious, Joe, how long does it take if somebody places an order tomorrow on one of your survival shelters, on the C-70 survival shelter, the one that floats, how long would it be in order to get delivery on one of those?
Well, right now, Mike, it's probably on the outside 40, 45 days, maybe a week sooner, but somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right.
You know, the thing is, the time element is so that, the year is almost, hasn't come and gone, but we're, about halfway through it.
Right.
And I don't believe that, we're going to see the end of the world this year. But I do know that there's a lot of things that people really do need to take heed of, and just, common sense things to be prepared for their family. So, there's just a lot of stuff that's out there, like we just discussed, the economic situation, the radiation. I suggest anyone listening to this program really do some research on the Internet about what's going on with Fukushima, because basically it's a huge cover-up. Reason being is that there's nothing anybody can do about the exposures, that we have. But, we just a nation of sheep, and we go to sleep and forget it doesn't happen. There's a lot there that, if people would work together and they could do a whole lot more, to be prepared when something, disastrous does happen. So
absolutely. We don't know what's going to hit us, but we know something's going to hit us. I mean, it's inevitable. Everything points in that direction, and that's what we have to do to prepare. And I would advise people very strongly, if they could, if they have the room or to make the room, to start storing up food and water, at the very, very least, because the day will happen. I remember when Hurricane Irene was coming here in New York, was hitting New York. My brother called me down from Florida, and he said, you better go out and get flashlights because you won't be able to get them. And I went out, and sure enough, you could not get a flashlight. I don't care if you paid $50, you could not get a flashlight or batteries or any of those things. So there will come, unfortunately, with the solar problem. The solar problem alone, we don't have to look at a potential pole shift, which may or may not happen, and probably not within our lifetime, I would hope. We don't have to look at the effects of Planet X so much. Well, we do have to look, or maybe we do, but we have to also look at the sun and the problems associated with the sun. So I want to thank you very much, Joe, for calling Radio Doomsday Live, our very first show, and I hope you become a regular listener. And the number for calls is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. Join us and join the fireworks. Okay, it's Mike Luckman, and we're back at Radio Doomsday Live. And inviting your phone calls. I wanted to talk a little bit more about Planet X and about Mars. I mean, there are lots of things to talk about. I mean, some people may say, well, what does survival and doomsday, so-called, have to do with extraterrestrials? Well, I don't think the extraterrestrials are going to be responsible for Armageddon. But I do believe that the extraterrestrials may be, in fact, on their way from Planet X. These Anunnaki, incidentally, the beings from Planet X that Zechariah Sitchin talked about, and that the Sumerians made records of, these guys are way advanced to the human race. And if they were 10 times more advanced than we are, they would be calling the shots. And it's almost inconceivable for us to think how much more that would, what exactly that would mean to us. But they may be a lot more than 10 times more intelligent than us. Some scientists estimate that they could be, or extraterrestrials at least, could be 100,000 times more intelligent than us. There's a man by the name of Neil Freer who's written a book called Breaking the God Spell. And he was a believer and follower of Sitchin, and a very brilliant man. And this book, Breaking the God Spell, actually spells out what the human position should be, if they'll allow us to have a position, and I think they will, toward the Anunnaki when and if they land. Incidentally, there has been, since the first of the year, there's been an enormous increase in UFO activity. Now, if you don't believe in UFOs, you really haven't researched it, because if you go to YouTube, you'll see, even though there's some fakes on there, you will see that there has been a tremendous upsurge in UFO activity since January 1st of 2012. And this has been a steady uphill number of sightings. The quality of the sightings have been strong. There was an amazing sighting that took place in, of all places, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And that's the place which is revered by all three major religions. It was originally the site of King David's temple. And a UFO came down and was photographed, not just by one photographer, but from three or four different positions, and even showed up on the weather camera, which records images every 10 seconds over Jerusalem. And you see this large white-type craft, or light, if you will, coming down toward the horizon. There's a, suddenly when it gets down to the horizon, there's a flash of light and it zips back up, and then there's an explosion of maybe about a dozen or more red lights, and then the whole mass of them disappear. But of all places, I mean, this to me symbolizes like the, almost like the prelude to the second coming. Some people would say the second coming of Jesus, if you believe in that. I want to explain that I'm not a radio evangelist in the normal sense. Harold Camping, the guy who got enormous publicity with his May 21st, his failed May 21st prediction of the end of the world, and then, of course, it didn't happen. He had egg on his face and had a hide from his people who had put in hundreds of thousands of dollars for massive advertising that appeared in billboards and on the subways, even here in New York. He was a failed prophet. I'm not a prophet. My background is in journalism. However, I do see the handwriting on the wall. And it's not pretty, but it is what it is, and it needs to be dealt with. And that's one of the things we're trying to do with the show. And some people will say, well, you know, it's an irresponsible thing to do, getting people all excited, and people might do this, and they might do that, and they might spend all of their money, and then it's not the end of the world. And certainly been a tremendous number of prophets that have happened through the centuries, prophets and prophecies that have been made that have not come true. However, everything is pointing in this direction, and you can see the physical reality of what is happening. You can see the economy falling apart on an almost daily basis, the loss of confidence in the banking system. You can see all of these things happen, and when finally the you-know-what hits the fan, there are going to be a lot of problems, and we may as well, we're much better off to confront those problems now than to just find ourselves waking up one day and being in a very bad position, and possibly not making it through. Now, I got to tell you, the Mayans believe that a very large percentage of the population, the world will keep on going, and humanity will keep on happening. But the Mayans believe that over the next number of years, anywhere from now to maybe 15 years from now, that a large segment of the population, I mean very large, I mean not only hundreds of thousands of people, not only millions of people, but possibly even billions of people. Earth presently has a population of 7 billion people. Billions of people could die in this transitional period. Civilizations have come and gone, and this is the history of the planet. So in any event, we need to be prepared in any way that we can. And tell your friends, please, to listen in to Radio Doomsday Live with Mike Luckman on BBS station number 2. And the number for call-ins, again, the show, incidentally, is Thursday night at 12 midnight for an hour. And the number for call-ins is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. We invite your calls. And I want to get back to not only Planet X, but the matter of the sun. I'm going to be harping on the sun for a long time because I think that's our most immediate problem. You can go to NASA's website, the official government website, and you will see a lot of stuff happening on an almost daily basis, certainly on a weekly basis, concerning the sun. And you can see yourself these enormous solar volcanoes and giant sunspots. Now, the sun itself, of course, is a very violent body in space. It always is. But the solar maximum that happens every 11 years or so, this one's acting particularly rough and particularly peculiar. And anything can happen. And NASA's warning us that this could be the end of the power grid for a while until they figure out some way of repairing the power grid, which could take easily months and possibly longer with effects that could last much, much longer than that. There's also a problem of water, particularly as we witnessed with the tsunami, the raising of the ocean levels due to the greenhouse effect. The water, New York, for example, is an island, and all of the coastal cities are in danger. The scientists had predicted, I would say easily 10 or 12 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, that within 20 years, New York would be not underwater, but have water, and enough of it to screw up the subways and elevators and to bring the city to a screeching halt. So we do have that problem living on Manhattan Island, somebody's bright idea to build a city on an island. And so that's what we're confronted with. And if you are out there and listening to this program, we invite you to call in. It's 888-429-5471. I'll repeat that, 888-429-5471. We'll be setting up a website shortly for the radio show. In addition, it'll be up on the social media website. So we're just getting out as our very first program. We're like happy to have you aboard. And there are lots of things to talk about. Let's switch right now to Mars, which, in my belief, was a way station for the Anunnaki and may still be for the Anunnaki coming back to Earth. I was responsible with late Tom Van Flandern for breaking photographs or bringing to the public's attention photographs of two extraordinary relatively new faces on Mars, human-like faces on Mars. And one of them, I swear, ladies and gentlemen, is a photograph, an official NASA photograph of a face staring right up into space, taken by NASA cameras, in a structure that is maybe 2 miles across. It's an enormous structure, and that picture looks like a queen, an Egyptian queen, because she's wearing some kind of a headdress. It may not be a woman, but it might be. In any event, the main thing is that it looks like it could be anybody, like almost like your next-door neighbor, a very good-looking person. The photographs are up on the Internet. You can find it easily. And then there's another structure, which is maybe about 700 feet tall, which very much resembles the Easter Island statues. But in addition, there are tunnels running all over the planet Mars. These tunnels dart in and out of the ground. There's some belief that they might have been used for distribution of water, or even that they were used for transportation. What's really wild, even wilder than what I just told you, is that there, and we don't know what the reason for this is that there are carvings of animals on the surface of Mars. These are very large carvings, and the carvings are grouped according to the type of animal that it is. So the mammals are in one place, and other kinds of animals are in another place. So there's just an amazing amount of artwork, if you will, on Mars. And as I say, the Anunnaki may be stopping off there on their way to Earth at some point in the near future. And also, most likely, the moon. There's some belief that the far side of the moon, the dark side of the moon, may in fact be inhabited. I want to skip now back to the, we're talking about extraterrestrials. I'd like to go back to the Roswell crash of 1947 in New Mexico. By now, almost everyone's heard about the Roswell crash, and I got to tell you that I remember my mother, when she was alive, saying to me when I was on one of the major television shows, or more than one, talking about the Roswell crash. And she says, "What's with this Roswell? You keep on talking about Roswell. It happened all so many years ago, 1947. What, you know, like if anything's happening, talk about something happening now." And I said, "Mom, I said, that is the one. The Roswell case represents the physical evidence that we were visited. Spacecraft was retrieved. Bodies were retrieved, kept at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, apparently in so-called hangar, in a hangar in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. And that's the important one. Now, Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut, one of the few men to walk on the moon, has corroborated the fact that he met with with members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and asked whether the Roswell case really was true and whether it involved the recovery of extraterrestrials. And he was told that, yes, the Roswell case was true. Now, you know, he's one of the few people who was able to break the veil. Now, Bill and Hillary Clinton come into this. They seem to be everywhere at one point or another, and they definitely factor into this. Bill and Hillary Clinton have been involved with the cover-up since the president, Bill Clinton's presidency. Bill Clinton, ironically, was extremely interested in the subject of UFOs and the truth about UFOs. He wanted to learn the truth about UFOs and felt that it was the most important subject, as well as who killed John F. Kennedy was a hero of his. So he was entertained, he and Hillary were entertained one summer at Lawrence Rockefeller's retreat in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, his ranch. They went there. And while they were there, Rockefeller presented them with copies of a top-secret report, which was given to 1,000 movers and shakers on the world stage, like the Clintons, and that came to the conclusion that the Roswell case was real, definitely happened, and that there was a worldwide UFO cover-up. And Hillary said she got up early one morning before Bill, while Bill was still in bed, and she told Rockefeller, "Don't bring this subject up again to my husband." And Bill Clinton told Rockefeller, who, by the way, was the oldest of the four Rockefeller brothers and a very powerful man and a very wealthy man, he told him that this was like quicksand for his presidency and he didn't want to get involved with it. So you can clearly see that the UFOs are real. I would suggest that anyone who has doubts go to YouTube and look at some of the current footage on YouTube, and even though some of it may be hoax, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are pictures from all over the world. There are eyewitnesses. There's now multiple footage of the same event taken by people like the people over in Jerusalem, the UFO that came down on the Temple Mount. And they're real. They're definitely real. So I'd like to, you're listening to Radio Doomsday Live with Mike Luckman, and you can reach me at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. It's our very first show for Radio Doomsday Live. We hope to build a huge audience. I hope you'll tell friends to listen in. It'll be every Thursday night, Pacific time, 12 midnight Pacific time, on the BBS radio station number 2. That's BBS radio station number 2, and incidentally, their website is bbsradio.com. That's bbsradio.com. Let's see, where are we time-wise? How many more minutes do we have on this? Well, we're running out of time quickly, so there are about 8 minutes left on the show. And so if you're going to call us up, now's the time to do it, 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Mike Luckman's your host on Radio Doomsday Live, and we're talking about survival, preparedness, earth changes, environmental catastrophes, solar problems, including solar flares, sunspots, and the effect it might have on Earth, the existence of Planet X, which may now be on its way toward Earth, the possibility of a pulse shift, which incidentally even Albert Einstein embraced, and anything that impinges on the survival of the human race and the quality of that survival. You know, from the minute that we're born, our cells begin to die. And, of course, when you're young, you feel invincible. You can do anything. You don't have to be worried about any health issues. And as you get older, you find out that there are all kinds of health problems. Well, that's not just health problems. That's not just going to a hospital. But people start to die a piece at a time often. And you'll hear about somebody talking about their grandmother and that she's falling apart a piece at a time. Well, they're, in fact, dying a piece at a time, sad to say. I do believe, however, that life continues. I don't think that that's the end of it. I don't particularly believe in reincarnation myself, but if you do, that's fine with me. But I do think that life continues. But I think the best thing we could do, though, is to do whatever we can while we're in this physical form to survive, and whether that means buying one of Joe Campbell's survival shelters if we can swing it, moving to a place maybe toward the center part of the United States so you're away from coastal cities, any of these things that could prepare us for an ultimate doomsday scenario, we should be doing. At the very least, ladies and gentlemen, we should be storing food and water and taking care of basics, because communications break down, if transportation breaks down, if the distribution of medical supplies break down, we're going to be in hot water, and we need to be able to furnish some kind of security for ourselves and our loved ones. Again, you're listening to Mike Luckman on Radio Doomsday Live. The number is 888 for call-ins, 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. And by the way, our topic is going to be much the same. This is basically a call-in show. We'll have guests on from time to time, I'm sure. But basically, I want to encourage your calls because we really want to get this thing moving and we really want to get it big as possible, and possibly take it to one of the commercial networks. Although I got to tell you, now that I mentioned the commercial networks, I do have to go back to this point. Okay. Okay, I see that we do have a caller, so we'll break for that. Caller from New Jersey, yes. We're on the line, Radio Thursday Live.
Mike, I was wondering, when is this Nibiru planet supposed to, was it supposed to hit the Earth, or when are they projecting it to?
What is that?
Hit the Earth.
Nibiru?
Planet Nibiru.
Yes. What's your question?
When was it supposed to hit the Earth?
Oh, well, there's debate about planet Nibiru, whether or not it's out there or not. It's coming in our general direction. We know that it comes around every 3,600 years. The big question is, even though it moves in a very wide-swinging elliptical orbit, but the speeds aren't constant, so it's very difficult to compute exactly when it might arrive. Frankly, it's a lot better for us if it doesn't arrive, but it's in our solar system, and it is going to come here sooner or later, and probably sooner. Now, whether that means this year or next year or the year after or even 10 years from now, I really can't tell you, and there's nobody who can tell you, only when we see it up in the sky. Now, there have been photographs that have been taken by people who claim that that is Nibiru, the legendary Planet X or 12th planet that's up there in the sky. But we really can't say with any certainty. However, Zechariah Sitchin, who popularized this subject, always said that when that happens, there will be a tremendous increase in earthquake activity and that sort of thing, which is, of course, is exactly what's happening now. There's never been so much earthquake activity in our lifetime, and all you have to do is to research it on the Internet, and you'll see plain and simple that the amount of earthquake activity is growing at a rapid, rapid rate. There's stronger earthquakes. There are more earthquakes now in Japan. There was just one this last week, a 6-point earthquake. Well, the one in Fukushima, I think, was 6.5 or something like that. And by the way,
yeah,
we're not done with Fukushima. Not only do we have that mass of debris, some of it possibly, most likely, radioactive, coming in our direction in a mass as large as the state of California and coming toward California and the whole West Coast, but we have a possibility of a radioactive meltdown that would be catastrophic, that could go into the core of the Earth itself. And there is no good news when it comes to Fukushima. This is far worse than anything else that has ever happened. And to throw one more thing, as if we needed it, into the mix, in the case of a solar eruption, a serious solar eruption, and as I said, the spots on the sun are as large as some of them, the recent ones, as large as the planet Jupiter, which is much, much larger than the Earth. But the solar eruption could knock out, could cause devastation when it comes to all the nuclear facilities all over the world. So that would be like an ultimate worst case scenario, together with other worst case scenarios that we have to realize are possibilities. Now, it's not a time, believe me, this is not a time for people to bury their heads in the sand. People say, in fact, a client of mine said, "Well, oh, the sun." Well, yes, oh, the sun. It's the front page of it's the cover of the National Geographic magazine. It's coming solar superstorms, and they're here already. And as I say, what's been saving us is the fact that the eruptions usually go, for whatever reason, because of the way the sun works, on the far side of, away from the Earth. But now they're coming toward us, and just one of them could wipe out the power grid and send us back to the dark ages. So I'm going to be harping on this over and over and over again, that people have to get ready, and that the people who are aware of what's going on and see the pictures and see the information, these people are the smart ones. These are people are potentially the heroes. These are the people who we should look to. These people are truly the chosen ones. Jimi Hendrix referred to the chosen ones, people who aren't sleeping on the job, people who realize what might happen. Jimi Hendrix, incidentally, 30 years ago, predicted that there could be a body coming from outer space, an asteroid with a tremendous impact on the Earth. There are more and more asteroids that have been coming toward the Earth that NASA's announced. Hendricks was also concerned about a pole shift. Incidentally, Elvis Presley wore the Aztec/Mayan calendar design. That was his favorite jumpsuit, and he was wearing it when he died. And the weird thing is, incidentally, that the number of points on both the outside and the inside of the Mayan jumpsuit add up to Elvis's the date that Elvis died. Perhaps a coincidence,
wow.
But yeah, interesting. But an interesting coincidence. And I spoke to Michael Jackson, by the way, about 4 or 5 years ago, and he was very concerned about the rainforest, and he said that we have about 4 more years left before the damage is irreversible. So he was very concerned about the environment, and of course he was a member of the Jehovah's Witness sect, and he would put on a fat suit and a disguise and would go door to door preaching the Jehovah's Witness end of the world scenario. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses have preached this before and been wrong about it. Again, I'll say this over and over and over again because I don't want somebody coming back later and saying, hey, Mike Luckman said that on December 21st, 2012, it's the end of the world. I'm saying the opposite. It's not the end of the world on December 21st, 2012. However, I do think something magnificent is going to happen on that date, but it's going to be spiritual in nature. We don't know precisely what that's going to be. However, I do think, I know that the environmental catastrophes are getting worse and worse and worse, and that there will be more of them happening as we proceed in the months and the years to come. And we have to get prepared for it or we're going to be wiped out. And, you know, NASA is irresponsible for not letting the public know the truth about this. But they don't want, their excuse is that they don't want panic. And panic is an issue. But I think that there'll be a lot more panic if suddenly something catastrophic happens and we're now underwater or we're now without food or we're now without drinking water or we're now getting radioactive waste start coming in our direction. So we got to prepare to the degree that we can prepare.
Has there been any reports as to the impact of that radioactive stuff coming over from Japan on
I spoke about that a little bit earlier. The radioactive mass of material, or I should say the mass of material, the tsunami records has hit Alaska, and it's going up the down the West Coast, and we don't know yet. We don't have any readings concerning radioactivity.
I heard that, but has there been any reports of the impact that it's had on the aquatic life?
I haven't heard anything specific about the effect on the aquatic life, but as I also said earlier, Newsweek magazine has in its current issue a cover story saying that the water. We know about the BP oil spill, another example of corporate greed, and obviously we have polluted oceans and there's a tremendous amount of overfishing and there won't be any fish left in 40 years, according to Newsweek. And that's a fairly conservative publication with what I believe is a fairly conservative estimate. We see the fish washing up on shore by the hundreds of thousands. We see birds falling out of the sky. What does it take to wake people up to know that this is serious and this is immediate, and it may not be pleasant news, but it is news, and it is what's happening, and we had damn well better prepare for it, or we will die. We will not make it, and only the people who do prepare for it will have a shot at making it. And that's my message tonight on Radio Doomsday Live. My name is Mike Luckman. I hope you're listening in. The call-in number for the show, please tell your friends about it. It's on Eastern Time on Thursday night, every Thursday night at 12 midnight on BBS Radio, station number 2. The call-in number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Is there any more time left? I think we're just about did it. I want to thank you very much for listening in to the program, Radio Doomsday Live. We're going to be putting word out on the Internet, particularly on social media websites. There have been social media websites have been used to change the course of events in countries. We want to change the course of events in the entire world when it comes to this, and we enlist your support. Thanks very much. Mike Luckman signing off.